Hello, everybody, and welcome to number 2 in our Declarations of War 1 vs. 1 debates. Today we have incumbent Trevor Deadu versus Psychotic Monk. First, some shout-outs. I'd like to give a shout-out to our sponsors, WeLoveFine.com. They are making our amazing new shirts. Check them out through the Inquire Loop button on DeclarationsOfWar.com or go to WeLoveFine.com/Eve and check out the great shirts that we have. Also, check out Ari Danica has a truly inspired new design for Voices from the Void. Go check those out and buy heaping amounts of them. I also want to give a shout out to our sponsor, EveTimeCode.com. EveTimeCode.com, where your business counts. And finally, a personal shout out to Rix Javix and the Tuskers for putting on an awesome death race this past weekend. I had even more fun than I wildly expected.
What's up, guys? It's Turtle. I don't really have a shout-out, so I'm going to be quiet.
Hey there, this is Trevor. I'd like to give a shout-out to my buds in Dirtnap Squad. And also, I'd like to give a shout-out to all the people who are running for CSM this year. It takes a lot of effort to do that, and once you get on the CSM, even more. And I'd like to thank them for stepping up and serving the community.
Hi, guys. I'm Monk, and of course I'd like to give a shout-out to my corp, the Skunkworks. And I'd also like to give a shout-out to all the belligerent undesirables in all of HiSec, LowSec, Wormhole Space, and NullSec. And I'd also like to give a special shout-out to any newbies getting into the life. I've been getting a lot of those conversations lately. I've been helping people get into this life we enjoy, and that just tickles me immensely. Keep it up. I love you guys.
Okay, now a brief explanation of our format. We have questions for the candidates. Before that, they will have a 3-minute introduction statement apiece. They will have the candidate that's asked the question will have 2 minutes to answer. The opposing candidate will give a 3-minute rebuttal, and the original candidate then has 1 minute for a closing response. Ninja Turtle and I reserve the right to ask follow-up questions to either candidate and give appropriate time to those responses as needed at our discretion. And Turtle and I will be communicating with each other on Jabber while this debate is ongoing. Candidates do not have access to the questions ahead of time, so they are all coming up with this stuff on the fly. Psychotic Monk has the first question, and we gave Trevor the opportunity to pick who went first for the introductions, and he has allowed Psychotic to go first. So, Psychotic, would you please begin?
Yes, hi, I'm Psychotic Monk, and I am a HiSec griefer. I do Wardex, I do Safaris, AWOXes, the occasional suicide gank, suspect baiting. I'm also highly involved in building and tightening the griefer community. There's a lot of things that we wouldn't have been able to accomplish, especially in the last several months, if not for the connections that we've been making and making stronger. Other than that, I'm just a prolific blogger and writer of swear words. You can read me over at belligerentundesirables.wordpress.com, and that's about it.
Trevor?
Hi, I'm Trevor Deadu. In-game, I fly with Dirtnap Squad, the cream, or perhaps the scum, of the Black Ops community. I've been a member of CSM for the past 3 CSMs, and I've watched it develop from, you know, something of just a talking shop into a group that's actually able to significantly influence CCP. And I hope to be able to continue that in CSM8. Let's get on with the debate.
Alrighty then. So the first question is for Psychotic, and it comes from the community. It's from None of the Above, if you're familiar with them on the forums. HiSec balance has always been a hot issue, but it really seems to have come to the forefront following the release of the 2012 Winter Summit Minutes. How safe do you think HiSec should be? And on the other end of the coin, how economically rewarding should it be?
Well, as for economic rewards, I believe that it's in a fairly good place now. I think maybe there might be some need for a slight nerf around level 4 missions or incursions, but I'm not terribly married to that idea. What I do feel is that it is very, very safe and therefore quite uninteresting right now. I feel that people are able to come to this game bringing with them the mindset of other Skinner box-like MMOs, which tell them that they should be completely ignoring the world around them, but for a chat box and killing boars repeatedly until they've hit level cap. I don't feel that's the strength of this game, and I want people in more engaging situations, and I want them working to defend themselves. I want them interested in their surroundings, situationally aware. So I feel that HiSec is probably somewhat too safe, and at the very least should probably not be made very much safer. There are a lot of nerfs to aggressors that have been made essentially on the premise that defenders are unwilling, not unable, but unwilling to take an interest in their own protection. And I feel that it's defense is something that you should do, not something you should get.
Trevor?
Well, I think overall the balance is reasonable, but where I have a problem with HiSec right now is I think that the difference between the highest HiSec and the lowest HiSec is not nearly as much as it should be. I think that, you know, 0.5s should be significantly more dangerous than they are. And, you know, 1.0 might possibly need to be a little bit safer. I want there to be a more smooth transition so that people can start out in this game in something that's relatively comfortable, but there's always an impetus that pushes them, you know, down towards, you know, more challenging aspects of the gameplay, in particular pushing them past that boundary into low sec and null sec. This is something where I think Psychotic and I actually agree on the overall goal, but we may disagree about particular ways to implement it.
Right, a 1 minute response, Psychotic?
Yes. Trebor mentioned that there should be an impetus towards pushing towards more challenging content, which would be in low sec, null sec, wormholes. I disagree in that I feel that high sec can be very challenging, and to those that are in the aggressor side right now, it often is. And I don't see that high sec needs to be the kiddie pool. I understand that newbies need to not get murdered completely out of the game in their first week, and there absolutely is space for that in HiSec, but I don't think that that HiSec needs to be the starter area. I think it has its own unique challenges and landscapes, and should be treated as a viable place to have gameplay all the way through your career, should you so choose. That does mean that you would be accepting shorter rewards, or smaller rewards. But, I mean, the ISK isn't really important anyways, is it?
Alright, Turtle?
It's interesting that you leave it there. Trevor, this next question is to you. And this is a quote I took off of your Jita Park CSM thread. Quote, if a place can be made for players who currently avoid EVE because of certain aspects of the game without significant effects for the current community, then that's something that needs to be looked at very, very seriously. Okay, so like if you read this between the lines, like statements like this could be interpreted as a desire for maybe some sort of separate space, whether it's like super safe high sec where nobody can get shot, or someplace that new players automatically go. Psychotic has been known to advocate an opposing philosophy, obviously. So explain what you mean by this statement and describe your vision for the role of high sec and its relationship to other areas of the game.
Well, I think what I said is pretty much what I said as the answer in my previous question. I think there is a possibility that there might be some small parts of the game that are a bit safer than the safest areas of high sec are now. I don't think that you should just do that as a knee-jerk reaction. I think that CCP ought to have hard numbers to back up any decision to do something like that. But I think it's healthy for the game to bring new players who may not have previously been attracted to EVE into the game and get them hooked on the game so that they do move into the more challenging areas of the game. Now, Psychotic actually made a good point in his rebuttal on the last answer that he felt that high sec should be an area where people could spend their whole careers. And I actually agree with that. What I was trying to get at was that right now, the difference between high sec and low sec is it's such a big psychological and also gameplay difference. And I'd like to smooth that out a little bit, because I want people to have an easier way to find the area of the game that fits their particular needs. And right now, I think that there are definitely some barriers in that place. So, you know, I particularly don't want to take any options out off the table just because, oh, that isn't EVE. I think that that's a very short-sighted thing to do. I think what you need to do is take a hard look at, you know, how the game is played and what populations we might be able to attract to the game so that we can shoot them, and then make an informed decision about where you put some resources.
Psychotic?
Actually, yeah, in some ways I'm in agreement here. However, I believe, and I'm probably just reading this into your response, Trevor, but the method by which you might be looking to smooth out the transition might be to make low sec safer. I really feel like if we hand people more things and don't ask that they actually play the game, then I feel that we're robbing EVE, and we're robbing the EVE players brought under these premises of their most engaging experience. I feel that's somewhat like showing up to a chess game and discovering that you're going to play checkers.
Well, I don't think you should read into it that I want to make low sec safer. I think you should read into it that I want to make it easier for people to explore the game and find out the place that's best for them. And I also think that I want to make it easier for people to kind of get in a little bit too deep sometimes and get jumped on by dirty, nasty gankers, which provides gameplay for them. So in that respect, I think you have to look at the end results I'm going for and not particularly focus on any particular mechanic, because the mechanics are going to be designed by CCP anyway. It's the philosophy that you need to worry about.
Okay. Related question to Psychotic. Trevor has lately framed many design questions around what would make EVE more appealing to a wider audience in hopes of getting more revenue for CCP. Thinking seems to be that more revenue equals more devs, which equals more resources that can be put into other areas of game development. Do you agree with this philosophy in general? And how do you think the role of the CSM as advocates for existing players fits in with it?
I don't agree with this philosophy, actually. I feel that Eve is a specific kind of game, and not only that, but barring things like Darkfall or Mortal Online, which, with apologies to their devs, are somewhat terrible, I feel that Eve is a unique game. It's the only game, the only MMO that allows you to show up and compete for actual loss. I think this is a unique place in the MMO landscape, and I feel that that trying to reach mass appeal is going to simply rob us of this unique gameplay experience. And if the intent was simply to make the most money, or even if the intent was to get the largest gaming company going, then they very well could have made any one of those kill a thousand boars Skinner box run of the mill MMOs from the get go. And if it was just money that they were interested in, then they could have gone into banking or real estate or whatever it is that scummy people who want a lot of money do. I really feel like trying to ask that Eve appeal to the people that it's not meant to appeal to is a bit like going into a classy restaurant and demanding a Big Mac under the premise that McDonald's makes the most money, and therefore everyone should be trying to emulate them. And that's not even remotely what this is about.
I find that interesting because McDonald's does make a lot of money, and like business models all over the world do try to emulate them.
But at the same time, I don't want to eat there.
Yeah, but classy restaurants don't, because they have their own thing going, right?
Yeah. Trevor, your response?
Well, I think Psychotic oversimplifies the situation. The biggest barrier to people becoming successful in Eve is downloading the client in the first place. The next biggest barrier is getting through the tutorial. The next barrier is actually paying for their first subscription. Okay? And anything we can do to make it easier for people to get over those barriers and become the hopelessly addicted crack whores that the rest of us are, is a good thing, because it increases the population of the game, which basically means more targets to shoot at. And also, in terms of the long-term viability of the game, you have to look 2, 3, 5, 10 years down the road. You want this game to... We've put such an investment into this game that you want it to be still here in 10 years. And if you focus on a particular demographic, those people who are willing to jump over those barriers to get into Eve, then I think you're being very short-sighted. We definitely know that when Eve is not growing, we have less devs, and we have less resources, and less things get done in this game. I remember not too long ago when CCP made some horrible decisions, and that the CSM, by the way, said, "Oh, geez, please don't do this," and they ended up having to fire 20% of their entire staff. I don't want to be around for that to happen again. So in terms of the long term, we have to encourage CCP to really look at the long term and decide what's in the best interest of the health of the game, so that we still do have people to shoot at 10 years from now.
Psychotic?
Okay, so more targets aren't of value if you can't shoot them, is the note I made myself. And as a long-term issue, barring Incarna, CCP has had a fairly steady, although not astronomical, growth. And I think that is a sustainable business model. And I think trying to cater cater to everyone is actually much more short-sighted than that. I don't feel that that downloading the client and paying for your subscription is the barrier to entry. I don't think that you become an EVE player once you pay your first $15. I feel you become an EVE player when you first get involved, when you first get interested in a community or a fight or a something that you want to do.
I've got a follow-up question for this one. It sort of ties into the previous question as well, where Trevor brought up the idea of having data to resolve these kinds of questions. It seems to me that collecting data on this sort of thing is super hard. You know, you can ask, well, let's see how many players are quitting because of they were the victims of a war deck. But that doesn't really capture how many players, you know, enjoy war decking as their main activity, or even those that stay in because of a war deck experience they've had, or even the possibility that there might be a war deck experience in their future. So my question to both of you, and this is especially to Trevor, because we happen to know of a study that CCP did do, and we sort of disagree very wildly on what the results mean, but how would you frame those questions specifically, if you can? And what guarantees would you give the player base of all the different communities that you would try to capture the totality of the playing experience and the questions involved, and not try to, you know, or not forget, basically, that there could be the other side of the griefing coin?
Well, framing those questions and figuring out what the right data is very difficult. And, you know, honest people can disagree about the results, as you and I do. And by the way, we can't really talk about those results.
But I think it's
so,
fine to say
which you know, places me at a bit of a disadvantage. But I'll put it to you this way. With respect to Wardex, the question isn't so much whether Wardex are good or bad. You know, I personally have no problem with war decks themselves. The question is the mechanic delivering what CCP wants it to deliver? So you can look at things like how many war decks expire with no kills on either side? How many war decks expire with kills on only one side, the aggressor side? How many war decks expire where the aggressors basically lost money because they didn't kill enough, they didn't, you know, counting the cost of the war deck, they just didn't kill enough ships? And, you know, if the numbers are showing that, you know, most of those war decks weren't effective, then you have to say, well, what can we do to reconsider the mechanic? And that was the whole point of what I brought up at the summit, was that we had this war deck issue, and there were all sorts of tweaks and changes because of all the exploits people were using to try and avoid them. And it reminded me so very much of all the problems we had with the Crime Watch mechanic. And finally, CCP said, screw this. We're just going to redo it and make it radically simpler. And get rid of a lot of these problems. And so I it just occurred to me to say, well, maybe you should do the same for Wardex.
Psychotic?
You assume an objective to a Wardex, which is not necessarily true. There are a ton of reasons that somebody would go after a Wardex. Yes, to kill someone's ships, to demoralize them. These are totally normal. Also, I've seen to put external pressure on an already crumbling corp so that somebody inside them can take advantage of the situation, to get somebody to take down a POS so that you can steal it or get that moon. I don't think that the war deck mechanic needs to have a specific end state in mind. What I do feel the war deck mechanic does is it gives people a way to have an engaging experience. There have been a lot of reasons over the last year or so that people have been just completely avoiding them, dropping corp, deck scraping, etc. But Defending a war deck absolutely can be and is if your corp is has even half of the ball, can be an engaging experience. Something that you come home at the end of the day, you log on, you ask, where are the war targets? What are they doing? What can I do? Can we fight them? And some might say that, well, some corps crumble because of this. I'm not sure that that's bad for EVE Online as a whole. I feel that most high-sec corps are extremely weak, and I feel that if they were stronger, they would be getting their new players more involved. They would be giving their players more content to work with, and ultimately delivering a better game experience. In that way, I think war decks are incredibly important.
Excellent.
Our next question is to Trevor, from None of the Above. I'm assuming that's a person.
Allegedly. It's a forum alt of some kind.
Okay, so from somebody's third account alt.
He would hate to be called an alt. I'm just joshing him a little bit.
Okay, yeah. The question is to Trevor. What kind of new players should EVE be focused on attracting? Try to avoid saying all of them, but instead keep in mind the limited resources that CCP has, and the existing condition of the game and the community that's already residing within it. I just want to add a little bit to this question, because the idea of size to a development company as like the golden chalice for things happening, I think the picture-perfect example of how that doesn't work sometimes would be World of Warcraft. And there's always going to be a balance there between quality of your game content and how many people you can shove into said game. And it's a delicate line to walk. But Trevor, if you want to start, I mean, who should CCP really be focusing on attracting as new players?
Well, first of all, I take issue with your second point, which is I think that EVE is probably unique in that almost all of its real content comes from the actual players. So I don't think it suffers from the problem you bring up. In terms of what new communities CCP should be trying to attract to the game, I don't think it's so much very different from the current people that are attracting. I just would hope that it would be a little bit broader, that they would consider features that just kind of push the envelopes a little bit of where CCP traditionally has gotten their players. I really like to get people who maybe have looked at EVE before and decided that, you know, this game is just too nasty for me, and give them an easier way to find out that they were wrong in their initial decision. I don't particularly want EVE to become less nasty of a game than it is, because I enjoy it for the kind of evilness that it has. But I still think, as I've said before, that there are barriers to getting people involved in the game that I think it would be hugely productive if CCP spent some time knocking down those barriers. And they, quite frankly, haven't done a very good job of it so far.
Monk?
I feel that CCP should be trying to attract players that want to like intelligently interact with their surroundings. It should be trying to attract competitors. It should not be trying to attract people that simply want to log in and watch their ship get better or their wallet number get higher. EVE, again, EVE is unique in that. Where in the late 90s, the early 2000s, and before that, a lot of games and a lot of online games especially were very cutthroat and quite unforgiving. EVE is probably the only reasonably well-made one of that stripe that exists anymore, and it should be trying to attract the players that were so in love with those games. I mean, the common knowledge is that it was created by UO Grievers, in order to appeal to that crowd in a post-Trammel environment. And I feel that we should be looking for competitive intelligent people who are. I'm sorry, Ninja Turtle distracted me somewhat in the chat. Competitive intelligent people who are looking to compete on a cutthroat level.
Yes, but don't you think that given that Eve is pretty much the only survivor, that everybody who was a cutthroat player back then has pretty much already known about Eve? I mean, you know, I appreciate your point, but I just think you're being a little bit too narrow in your thinking.
Monk, you have some time to respond to that.
Yeah, yes, probably all the people who were literally griefers in UO already know about Eve and have made their decision if they're going to be joining or not, but the assumption I think you're probably taking on board is that no new people of that stripe are being made. There are those kinds of people. I personally was not playing video games circa UO. And I'm actually totally sad that I missed it. But I am that kind of player now, and I am not alone in having become that kind of player since that happened. And I really do feel that kind of player needs a home. I think the closest thing we have to the closest thing we have to any gaming experience that delivers that is like cutthroat poker, which is completely divorced from MMOs and not going to scratch the itch for most of those people.
All right. So, sort of changing tone a little bit from the high sec and new player experience discussions. Psychotic, this is your first time running for the CSM. So, aside from the infrequency of candidates on your general platform, the loosely termed griefing community, what sets you apart and above from other candidates with more experience or prior CSM terms, like Trevor?
Well, I am probably the first candidate in a long time, and I'm competing against James at the moment, but I'm probably the first, I would be the first CSM, I think, at very least in the last several years, possibly ever that really solidly understands the way that these mechanics, these interactive mechanics, shake out on the ground in HiSec. Being that the CSM seems to come from everywhere except interactive cutthroat HiSec, and that CCP does not allow its employees to engage in what they feel is the darker side of Eve, I feel that any knowledge brought to the table in this respect so far has been at best a distant memory or a one-off experience someone had at one point, you know, the week they spent suicide ganking, or at worst like a third-hand cargo cult of how it actually works out. And being that there is that gap in knowledge at the table, it's really easy to make these assumptions about the interactive nature of HiSec, and therefore quite easy to dismiss us, and in which case we get screwed over and nerfed a ton. I really feel that it's way past time that we had proper representation here.
Trevor, would you like to reply?
Well, do you want me to answer the question of why I should be I'm a good candidate, or whether or why Psychotic is?
You can go either direction. It's up to you.
Okay, well,
I mean, frankly, you've been elected, what, 3 times now? So I think it might be a little more covering of new ground if you think why Psychotic might not be a good candidate.
Oh, no. I would go exactly the opposite way. My goal in this election, apart from myself getting elected, is to get as many diverse voices on the CSM of people who are going to be hard workers and who are going to be able to argue their points, but also come together in the end and work effectively together to influence CCP. You know this because we did it in the current CSM, even though we disagree about almost everything. So in that regard, looking over his thread, looking over what he's done in the game, and the way he presents himself in this debate, I think he's a perfectly reasonable and good candidate to represent the community that he's a part of.
Psychotic, you have a minute if you want it.
Tell me why I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's really flattering. And we discussed this before the show. He says that with the full understanding that we're probably going to be arguing for the entire year should we both end up on the CSM.
Well, if you weren't, there'd probably be a problem.
Sorry, say again?
Well, if you guys weren't, it obviously either cause a problem or there is such a big problem that the two of you have united against it, so.
Yeah, pretty much. So I'm super flattered that he thinks that way.
Well, that's what happens in every CSM. I mean, it turns out that 95% of the time we're on the same side working on a particular problem. So the differences just, you know, sharpen the arguments. It's a good thing.
All right, we probably should have paced this one better, but we are coming back to the new player experience briefly. But we wanted to try to alternate the two of you, so. If you don't mind, Turtle.
Sure. Trevor, this question's to you. Improving the new player experience seems to be a cornerstone of your platform, more or less. And while you don't think, quote, Eve will move far in the direction of WoW, you do think a small kiddie pool is worth researching. Focusing more so on the new player experience specifically rather than high-sec income as a whole, high-sec as a whole, you know, disregarding income, those kinds of issues. What changes do those new players need, the two-week-old guys on trial accounts? What do they need, and what sort of obstacles do you expect to encounter in getting those changes?
Well, if the easy answer to that is, oh, let's just improve the tutorial, but I don't think that's the most important thing. I think the most important thing we can do for newbies is get them hooked into the social fabric of the game at the absolute earliest possible instant. I would not be playing this game today if, in the first few weeks of my life in Eve, I was basically randomly adopted by a corp. Okay? And that changed everything for me. I was ready to quit the game because I thought it was boring. But when I got into a corp, I mean, everything changed for me. So one of the things that I am really, really big on is I would love to see some way that mentoring was a in-game profession, that you could actually make money mentoring noobs and getting them hooked on Eve. I had a wonderful conversation with CCP Unifex and CCP Seagull in a bar in Reykjavik during the winter summit about this, and I really think that if we can crack that nut of getting people locked into the social structure, getting them hooked into a corp that will then, you know, mentor them in a good way, that this game will grow exponentially.
Monk?
Trevor and I do agree on that new players need to be involved in a corp as early as possible, but I will put up the caveat that it needs to be good corp. I routinely interact with and see the inside of and fight terrible corporations that are poisoning and shackling their newbies by telling them that they shouldn't undock or they need 20 million skill points and 10 billion ISK before they can try anything even remotely interesting. So I feel that the quality of corps that are absorbing newbies needs to come up, and I think that's probably going to largely be accomplished through Darwinism. But also, I feel that newbies need, and this would be mitigated somewhat by being adopted by a corp and getting showered with ISK, but I think in their first couple of weeks, I actually think that newbies need more money. Because as someone a week or 2 weeks old, losing a T1 cruiser with like absolute shitfit that you picked up off of rat hurts. It really hurts a great deal. And if you rush right into a battlecruiser and get it murdered, that can be it. You can be set back to square one, and it looks hopeless to you. So I really feel that newbies should be given the means to be killing and dying as early as possible at fairly low stakes. So I would love to see them given the means to generate the income to routinely be losing T1 frigates or even possibly T1 cruisers. I will be clear, I'm not saying that the level of income in high stakes should come up. I'm saying that the level of the lowest parts of high stakes income should come up. And I think that's probably actually quite important to getting people involved, because they need that safety net to be able to lose some ships and get interested in the actual meat of the game. Oh, and of course, you know, tutorials and better documentation and so on, but I don't think anyone's debating that at all.
Trevor?
Yeah, one thing I'd like to make clear is that when I talk about mentoring, I'm talking about individual mentoring. Individuals taking on newbies, getting them into the right corps, which there I agree with Psychotic, and basically smoothing their progress through their first, you know, month or so of life in the game. You know, there's tons of stuff that can be done in this area. It's just a matter of which ideas are the best and most cost-effective.
I'm going to pose a follow-up question then, because you seem to be done. I find it very interesting that I don't know if you guys have any corps like Red versus Blue or Eve Uni in your heads right now, but you don't really seem to have a very high opinion of their ability to direct new players. How do you feel about the state of those alliances as tools for getting the new players involved in things? And what would you change? What would you keep in your ideal system, I suppose? We'll start with Psychotic.
Red vs. Blue is a fantastic corporation that you can just go get fights in cheap ships, but they're not a teaching or mentoring organization. So while a newbie might gain some value from them, that is not their purpose, and I don't feel that that needs to be something that they bring on board as their purpose. Eve Uni, those of you who've been following me on the forums or on Reddit, probably know I do not hold in very high regard. Their resources, their wiki, their recorded classes are fantastic, but I feel much like the run-of-the-mill high-sec corp, they seem to be encouraging running and hiding and avoiding all interesting content, for fear of losing your ship. I feel that this is shackling our newbies with fear and ignorance and draining them of their bright-eyed newbie enthusiasm. I think this is bad for the health of the game as a whole. It's my understanding in the last week or so, Keldum stepped down, and there's some indication that this trend might be somewhat reversing, although I won't hold my breath. But I feel that this is a situation that, again, is best served through Darwinism. I feel if they were forced to become a better corp through external pressure, I'm thinking here of their several-month-long war deck, which they seem to be just running and hiding from, then they would be better able to offer newbies a good and interesting start. And I think I think it's not just EVE Uni that suffers that, although EVE Uni is certainly the largest example of, but I think that's a very common trend throughout HiSec, and I don't like it in the slightest.
Trevor?
Well, I can't believe I'm going to say this because I'm a hardcore scientist, but in this case, I'd like to see a little bit more intelligent design as opposed to Darwinism. I think that there's ways to set things up so that there's more ecological niches for training corporations and ways that newbies should be pointed to the best ones. I think this would be an interesting topic to discuss at great length, because I think actually Psychotic has a good point about making it cheaper for very young newbies to lose some ships. I think that that is an interesting approach that I'd like to think about a bit more.
Okay. In what venue would you want to see them lose that ships then? I mean, because you can give them more money, but, I mean, are they going to then use war decks then to go shoot at people? Or, I mean, what's your ideal place for them to go lose those ships? Wherever they want?
Basically, wherever they want. I mean, I'll just take something off the top of my head. What would happen, for example, if for the first couple of months of your EVE life, up until a certain point, you got a better insurance payout? Not something you could exploit, but that it softened the pain of losing a ship. Would that be something reasonable? Without thinking about it hard, I don't know, but it might be something to consider.
Could be something as simple as increasing level 1 and 2 mission rewards.
I feel that, actually, that would probably be a really, really good start in that direction. Although, I would prefer if it were something a little less quest grindy. But, you know, if it were exploration or whatnot. But, yeah, absolutely. If you don't mind me on where they should be losing the ships?
30 seconds or less, please.
Okay. There are a ton of ways to get involved in PvP in HiSec, and we all know that there are innumerable ways to get involved in these things in other areas of space, too. Which is why I feel that nerfs to people's ability to shoot each other in HiSec especially, and anywhere overall, are detrimental to the health of the game. Because you're depriving newbies of those opportunities as well.
All right. Questions for Psychotic. Psychotic, Monk, there's an interesting dynamic between you and Trevor. Psychotic, you have an affection for emergent interaction and conflict, like suicide ganking, abusing aggression, and war deck mechanics. And this could arguably turn away new players, trial accounts, etc. One of Trevor's main platform points is making the game more friendly to new players, thus enhancing retention. These goals do seem to be at odds with each other on a single sharded server, so which of you is right?
I mean, obviously we both think we're correct. My argument in this direction is that it's not the simply showing up in the undocking a ship that makes you love EVE and makes you want to keep playing, but the stories that you form and they get told later to your friends excitedly over lunch at work who don't give a fuck about you getting betrayed or you trying to take revenge or you wanting to get home as early as possible to try and steal somebody's stuff. I think those are what make an interested and dedicated EVE player. So I feel that the questy grindy bits are subpar as compared to other MMOs, and that's good. I prefer it that way. If I wanted a Skinner's box, I would be playing one of them. So yeah, holding someone's hand is not going to be, in my opinion, nearly as effective as getting them involved in a messy, exciting story that probably involves people shooting each other.
Even if it makes them cry and think about quitting?
yes. Even if it makes them cry and think about quitting. Because, well, some of them might actually quit. That is the environment in which everything else happens. If you're going to compete, someone has to lose. This isn't World of Warcraft, where all you do is fail to advance. One of the prime uniquenesses of this game is that somebody loses. It's an actual competition.
Trevor?
Well, quite frankly, and I feel that everybody has their own reason for playing EVE, and that it's a bit presumptuous to argue that there is one best reason for playing this game. I think the whole point of the sandbox is that you find your own reasons for playing the game and your own win conditions. My win conditions are going to be very different from Psychotic's or yours or guys who are flying around in Sov Nullsec. I don't think there's any one true path. And when I hear that kind of sort of dogmatic statement, almost religious statement, that's something that concerns me. I tend to be agnostic or even atheist about these kind of things. I want there to be more ecological niches in the game, some of which some other players may think, oh, that's awful. There's always opportunities for people to expand out of particular niches and find, quite to their surprise, that they like something that they didn't think they were going to like.
Monkey, have a minute?
Yeah. People having various activities that they enjoy, that includes industrialists, miners, people that don't shoot each other, still benefit from an environment in which there is competition. I don't think any reasonable person is actually saying that you must shoot another player, otherwise you are wrong. But this is an environment, and again, probably the only reasonably made environment in video games today, in which you actually compete. So, well, that very commonly does mean shooting another player. That's not the case, and the competitive nature of the game does not diminish, and in fact, I feel strongly enhances the sandbox aspect of EVE.
Okay. I've got a follow-up for Trevor in particular, although if Psychotic would like, I'll give him a short, maybe 60-second response. Like it or not, Trevor, you've sort of become the hope and dreams of a lot of people who would like to see a Saver Hi-Sec. I think by virtue of what you said in the summit minutes and your decision to run again. Now, I mean, I think you've pretty well clarified your statement, but like it or not, those people are probably going to look to you for support because they think you sympathize with them somewhat. So my question to you is, can you say definitively whether or not a player wanting to be free of interaction from other players and using the sandbox as a defense because that's how they want to play their game, do you think that that's a viable interpretation of the sandbox concept as far as MMOs go? And the other end of that is, do you think it's a viable interpretation of the sandbox MMO style to say that your playstyle is taking sand out of the box and pouring it outside and into the water or something so it goes away for everybody?
Well, I think that anybody who goes into a sandbox game expecting not to interact with the other players is fooling themselves. My attitude is that if somebody comes to me as a member of the CSM with a problem, I will listen to them, and if they have a good argument, I will consider their argument, and if they can definitely show me the data that proves that they've got a good point, then, you know, I will go to bat for them. And that goes for somebody who has a problem in HiSec or NullSec, or an industrialist who has a problem, you know, with the user interface or the corp interface or pauses or whatever it is. You know, in a sandbox game, you get to kick sand on some of the other players. The amount of sand you get to dump on them, that is a matter of game design. You know, I am not in any way advocating that you shouldn't be able to, you know, knock over somebody's sandcastle. It's a question of whether or not you get to dump a backhoe's worth of sand on their head, or whether or not you get to throw a pail of sand in their face.
Another question of pouring sand out of the box.
In terms of basically denying people their ability to play the game that they like?
In terms of at continually advocating for, say, their right to be left alone. In other words, that their right to not be interacted with, taking away the sand for the other people in the box. Taking away their freedom of action.
I don't think that is a particularly reasonable argument to make. I mean, you know, the whole point of this game is the interaction between the players. You know, the arguments are in, you know, what are the levels of interaction that are reasonable in particular areas of the game. There's this old anecdote. Well, I'm out of time, sorry.
Monk, would you like a response, or you want to move on?
I just have a super quick thing. I think we and people in general are slightly misusing the sandbox term. That a game is a sandbox game does not necessarily mean that it's a competitive game. This is both of those things. This is a sandbox game and a competitive game. I can and frequently do play Minecraft in a server meant to limit the effect that or negative effect other people can have on each other, and that's fine. That's a great experience, and it is a sandbox, but not competitive. So I think we're somewhat misusing the term, and I think that somewhat muddies these discussions we have on occasion.
All right, fair enough. Turtle, you're up.
Okay, Trevor, you're the only incumbent candidate on a highly scrutinized CSM. You've also held office for several terms in a row, so what argument would you make to those people who would say perhaps you've grown too comfortable or close with CCP and that it's time for a clean sweep and a fresh CSM?
I'd say they're full of shit. The bottom line is that the reason I've served on three CSMs and the reason that just about every active member of all those three CSMs have endorsed me is that I'm quite good at what I do, which is make the CSM better and make the CSM more effective. I'm a booster, okay? I'm not so much the instigator as the enabler. I try to make sure that every time CSM makes an argument, it's the best possible argument we can make. In addition, because I'm the only incumbent who's running a game, because certain people were bloody cowards, and I won't name names, but I'm talking about you. I had to give you a little bit of a jab. Come on. Because I'm the only incumbent, I have a fair amount of institutional knowledge about, you know, how things get done at summits and how things get done behind the scenes. And I think that's going to be very useful for the new CSM that's coming in. Quite frankly, I hope we get a CSM with me and 13 other really hard workers. So that we can basically get to work and just basically bury CCP under a lot of really good advice to the point where they're absolutely forced to do everything we tell them to do.
Psychotic?
No response.
Alrighty. You have an extra minute, Trevor, if you want it.
Nah, I'm done.
Well, I think that was an excellent answer.
Well, that's me getting as mad as I ever get.
High frying doom. Okay, so moving on. A similar question about your candidate's suitabilities, but now this one is for Psychotic. An observer might think you bear many similarities in background to Larkonis Trassler of CSM3 fame, pirate, scammer, griefer, etc. He was then most infamous for getting tossed off for using NDA knowledge to make gains off the market. Do you think that kind of reputation is conducive to serving on the CSM, your background's reputation? And what would you tell voters skeptical of trusting someone with your background in-game? And Trevor, either respond to the question generally or to Psychotic's answer specifically.
Well, firstly, I'd like to note that you just used the phrase tossed off. Just saying. As for how my background affects whether or not I should be trusted in-game, I do play this game competitively. And I play it in an area that a lot of people don't like to think of as competitive. They don't want it to be competitive. I form some bad feelings, but I enjoy this game. I play every day. I want to see a healthy game. I'm not here to make anyone miserable except as a byproduct of my own success. And I am most certainly not here to kill the game or set the whole place on fire. I absolutely do want a competitive, healthy environment in which to play. And part of that means that I want people stepping up to give me more challenge. Well, you might, if you had a somewhat narrow view, be thinking that I would be just looking for advantages for my peers and I. That is absolutely not the case. I want a very high-speed, competitive, cutthroat environment for us all, and I want to be causing interesting stories. So in that way, yes, I am serving myself, but at the same time, serving the entire game, because that's a benefit to everyone.
Mr. Dayadu.
Well, I think the lesson we can learn from CSMs of the past is that mixing CSMing, actually playing Eve, and alcohol is a bad thing. It has gotten more than one person, I won't say that, thrown off of the CSM.
Not a fan of tossing, Trevor. Move on.
Only dwarf tossing. It's just one
wow.
of my few.
Ooh, listen.
Yeah.
We're going to make some posters about this later, okay?
This question got dark.
Go for it. More votes for me. The bottom line is, you know, if you do something stupid, you're going to get thrown off the CSM. But if you come into it with the right attitude, you'll do fine. And, you know, you should, I would say to everybody who's going to be voting is just evaluate the candidates based on what their platforms are and particularly how they present themselves in their threads and make your decisions based on that.
One minute response.
I think I adequately expressed why I'm going to be a CSM that's for the health of the entire game rather than just my peers. I think I'm good.
Okay.
I have the honor of the final question. Ahem. Trevor, what was the greatest success of CSM 7? I didn't write this question, by the way. This is clearly Alex looking for some something, I don't know. But what was the greatest success of CSM7, and what was its greatest shortcoming? What would you focus on as your primary goal of improvement in CSM8? Be specific.
3 exclamation points.
Yeah, he's pretty serious.
Okay, I think our biggest success was how much more embedded we got in CCP's development process. I mean, the access we got during the release planning for the summer expansion was just absolutely unprecedented. We were not only involved in the planning from the sort of, you know, conception stages, but now we are acting as a stakeholder on one of the key teams that's actually putting out the expansion. So in terms of increasing our ability to influence CCP and actually having a real influence on stuff, you know, before stuff actually happens, as opposed to facepalming when we find out what they're doing, I think that that was a really big win for us. The biggest failure I think we had was probably we didn't communicate enough with the community about what was going on. And part of that was a problem we had in that there were things that we would have liked to have talked about, but we kind of figured that raising a huge shitstorm in the community about some things we were concerned about wasn't the best tactical move, so we had to kind of go silent on them. And those are the kind of edge decisions that sometimes you look back on it and say, maybe that wasn't the right decision. But I can honestly say that at the time, we thought we were making the right play.
And we have less than 30 seconds now, but you can go a little bit over time. What would be your focus for improvement on CSM8?
I want to deepen the access we have to CCP's development process. In particular, I want to get more global information about what's going on. And I've been pushing for that in every meeting we've had, and you can attest to that. Because I think that the more information we have about what the various parts of the company are actually doing, the better advice we can give, and the more likely that advice will have real impact.
Monk?
I think the most visible and my favorite success of this past CSM was actually when Two-Step formed that thread about how POS revamps are a big fucking deal. I feel that from where I was sitting, obviously I'm not privy to these this extra information. From where I'm sitting, it looked like we were going to be getting a POS revamp in the near future, and it was going to be very important, and it was going to be of huge help to everybody, but particularly to wormhole dwellers. And again, from where I'm sitting, it looked like that kind of got yanked out at the last second. And Two-Step, recognizing that his constituents were getting screwed over, he rightfully gathered everybody with torches and pitchforks, and made sure that he was representing his constituents. And I think that that showed a lot of guts. I like that a lot. As far as failures, I feel that there were some knowledge gaps that meant that things like Crime Watch got deployed in ways that weren't that were somewhat suboptimal and not actually congruent with the way that these things shake out on the ground in some cases. In a lot of ways that got smoothed over, but I do feel that there's still some roughness here and there, and I feel that a lot of that could have been avoided if there hadn't been that gap in knowledge. As far as what to do on the next CSM, I mean, I've never been a CSM member, so I'm not entirely certain of exactly what my lofty, incredible powers are going to be. But my goal is to ensure that everyone is being represented, like every player demographic is being represented, and specifically as myself, that's to be representative of my community and of HiSec as a whole, in a way that we haven't had in a very long time or possibly ever. Yeah.
Trevor, you have a minute to respond?
If you want. Yeah, well, actually, I'd like to go back to that pause thread. That was probably the biggest edge decision made during CSM 7. You see, it's really a two-edged sword. On the one hand, kicking up a fuss in the forums and getting a lot of community pressure, it could be the nudge that we need to influence CCP in the right way. On the other hand, kicking up a shitstorm could piss off the people that we're behind the scenes trying to convince, which is going to be the most effective call. That's a very tough call, and those are the kind of calls that CSM members, either individually or as a group, have to make and be responsible for. And, often part of the problem of being on CSM is that the community doesn't have the information we have, so they can very reasonably, think that we are totally screwing up when, based on the information we have, we're making an informed decision. But that's part of the job. You sometimes have to take your lumps, whether you deserve them or not.
Can I do a quick 5 seconds?
Sure.
I'm not. I should state I'm not saying that all such cases should cause a shitstorm, but I am saying that I feel Two-Step was right in that particular case. I think that was exactly the correct decision and very courageous of him to boot.
All right, and I'd like to thank the candidates for coming and answering those questions. I'd like to thank none of the above for posting in the community call for questions thread. And we're going to close things out with a short closing statement from all the candidates. Monk, you are first. 3 minutes.
Well, geez, I don't know what to say here. And having not been in the CSM before, I can't say what I will or won't be able to do. But I can tell you that my perspective is one that has been lacking on the CSM to a fair degree. And additionally, I really feel that that very few people, especially in HiSec, on the CSM are advocating building stories in an interesting way. I really feel that's a strength of the game. I feel it's a thing that's gone somewhat underrepresented, and I really hope that that you agree, and that that you can vote for me and let me work towards a more interesting, a more engaging, a more competitive and cutthroat EVE Online.
Trevor?
Well, I think that over the past 3 years, I've demonstrated that I have been very effective in building the CSM from pretty much a joke to a really effective tool for influencing the game, that I'm pretty good at taking the hand I'm dealt and playing it for the absolute maximum possible value. As the only incumbent, I don't think I have to tell many people you know, where I stand on various issues. I've been consistent over the years that I want the game to be improved, that I want the UI to be improved, that I want existing systems to be iterated on, and that I want, you know, the game to attract more people to it for its long-term health. But I would like to close by asking everybody who's listening to get involved in this year's elections. I think that there are some really great candidates this year. I think, in fact, there are more good candidates this year than in any previous year. And the new election system means that you don't have to make choices. You can list everybody you think is going to be decent, and your vote will help elect as many of those people as possible. So the quality of the next CSM and what it can do for you is largely in your hands as voters. And if you don't get out there and vote and encourage other people to vote and cast informed votes, then you will get exactly what you deserve. So it's on you.
Right, and at the last minute request of CCP Fozzie through Twitter, Best Pony, Trevor.
I am not a My Little Pony fan, I'm sorry.
You're off my ballot, just like that. Monk.
Rainbow Dash.
Hell yeah! That man's either done his homework or he's just awesome. No Pony Trevor, you're not... Be brave, man. Come on, this could be
a campaign.
Man,
I've been selling anime for 25 years. I mean, give me a break. I mean, when you've seen that much sausage being made, you don't want to eat it anymore.
We went from tossing to sausage to tentacles.
You're the one who always brings
up tentacles.
We need
to make some posters. he just did. He brought up tentacles.
Yeah, he has this tentacle obsession. I mean, I swear, you know, he wants ponies with tentacles.
No, it's my suspicions about you having
sure
done so
already
much anime.
Exists.
Having done so much anime,
me
doing so much
ye
blogging,
doth protest too much.
Doing so much blogging, so much CSM work, the way you put out the minutes, you're either not human or you've got some dark, crazy secret, and being that you run an anime company, I have my theories, and that's all.
Oh god, guys, I just googled ponies with tentacles. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't. You know what? I take back. No, no. I no longer have a favorite pony. Get out of here.
We're editing that part out. He still likes Rainbow Dash, everyone. Don't believe him. All right, guys. Thank you very much. This has been Declarations of War. Trevor versus Monk. Thank you for tuning in, and catch us on the next one in about 2 weeks. Fly dangerous.